So essentially, your Rushmore is Darren Randolph, Katie Taylor, Laura Whitmore, and me.
OTB AM's Mount Rushmore, live every weekday at 7:30 a.m. on OTB Sports Radio. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
And then at number one, the person under most pressure this morning, this week, is Josep Maria Bartomeu, who Bartomeu right now reminds me of Sideshow Bob when he's stepping on all the rakes. Everywhere he turns, there is a problem right now. The problem of Setien is the first rake he has stepped on, and he is going to lose his job. He probably already lost his job. Messi is potentially another rake. If you get rid of him and you don't succeed, then you will be the villain. If you keep him and you don't give him the right assets to succeed, then you are also the villain. There is no way that Bartomeu doesn't end up in a very, very bad place after this, in the view of Barcelona fans. There's no way he can save his own face. The pressure is so bad. Maybe the pressure is actually completely off him because he's already screwed up so badly that he can't do any worse. Maybe this is a terrible decision. But anyway, here we go. Bartomeu, congratulations. You are the winner of this week's pressure rankings.
That's the end of the pressure rankings this week.
And it is exactly where we are starting. Graham Hunter, good morning to you. How are you?
Not happy. Not happy at all. How can you bring me on after Owen just knocks his six sixes out of the park with his Sideshow Bob Bartomeu comparison? You know, and the one flaw you had there was you didn't mention the Die Bart defense that Sideshow Bob got away with. It's German. That's the best radio I've heard in 17 years of putting up with you guys. That was off the scale.
Right, we're done. That's it. That's it. It's like we can put the meme up. Last week we started this show at almost exactly the same time, and I was like, "Come on, Leo Messi just scored this amazing goal. It's all like, look at the romance of how it might happen." And you're like, "No, stop it. That's not going to happen. Put away your childish dreams." And you were right, 100% factually correct. Bayern destroyed them in all the ways you said they would.
Yeah, I don't remember saying put away your childish dreams, because Messi makes us all dream and doubt our verdicts. And one of the things that keeps drawing us to him more than his lifting of the Champions League, which hasn't happened since Berlin 5 years ago, is that intermittently he'll do things which defy description, defy belief in a team that's failing, in a team that's been put together by Kelsey Grammer. And therefore, all I knew was that Bayern Munich were going to win, and it was a question of margin. And it fits into a court. I mean, I know it's not the headline item, but I think in just about last night's aside, let's leave Europa League aside, but in every single Champions League quarterfinal, the team that was fresher and fitter won. And that isn't always the case in football. Sometimes tactics or cleverness or stoic defending can negate if there's an athletic imbalance between teams. But we've been living in the most extraordinary times. La Liga, when it restarted, showed an athletic stamina, sharpness of brain, which after lockdown I just couldn't imagine. Now, Barcelona, as well as being thoroughly outpointed in all the divisions of building a football team, building a football squad, managing a football squad, they were also significantly athletically worse than Bayern Munich. And we knew that. And therefore, the thrashing could have been more. And all it really was a culmination of, exactly as Owen said, years and years of very, very poor decision-making.
Can we talk about Messi and what happens next? I don't know how much credence to give the accuracy of the reports from the Brazilian TV station that he's already made a decision. He's already decided to activate whatever clauses that will make him available.
First of all, there are none. That's the really good point. I don't even know that. People have been asking him about this fella. I don't know the fella. I don't know how he would know. In my opinion, he's taken a punt. Now, fair enough. That's what some people do in journalism. Messi's contractual situation, just so that we start there, why not start with fact? I know it's against the trend these days in other stations, but he's got one more year of contract left. The get out of jail free card was one that he had to activate every May. And if he activated in May, then by the end of June, he could leave for free. So the odd situation now is that if the humiliation and embarrassment of what happened against Bayern Munich added to his complete lack of faith that he's working with people above and around him who can rebuild adequately and use well the last good 3-4 years of his career, he's 33 to 33 in June, athletically in the right team, and as long as he stays motivated and concentrated, there's a perfectly good argument that he can play very high level football till 37, 38, in my humble opinion. But those years disappear like that, and they become years where it's more difficult to nick away from a player, however skilled you are, to find that space that makes him the genius that he is. And therefore, if he's got no faith that the people around him are going to build an era, then he can. It may be the very best thing for him, even for his club, and certainly for the neutrals, to leave. But the questions start here. One, how do you get out? This year, anybody who's in charge, and we presume that Bartomeu, the president that almost taken a mickey out of, is probably going to have such a brass neck that he stays. And I, in a time of pandemic where, you know, large accumulations of people are forbidden, particularly in Catalonia, how an emergency motion to push him out gathers force, gets the right number of votes, and then kicks him out, and then there are new elections immediately. That seems to me to be, you know, nothing's impossible in life, but a very distant prospect. So as a working thesis, probably Barcelona have Bartomeu for one more year, after which it's obligatory that he stands down, obligatory. So during that year, Bartomeu doesn't want to add to the ignominy that he's just suffered by being the guy who says to Messi, listen, wee man, you've been fantastic for us, and I understand how hacked off you are, and it's all my fault, so you can go for 10 bob. And if a club comes in and offers 350 quid, you can go. No. They're going to say to any club that comes in, all right, there's only a year left in his contract. We know he can leave free next summer, but it's still going to cost you 100 million euros. What would you do if you're the guy presiding over absolute disaster and you don't want to be remembered as the guy who let Messi slip through the your already slippery fingers already? You could put a massive price tag on him. And then, you know, sequentially, who pays that? And where is the right place for this man to go in his own mind? So I see the answer to your question as being, yeah, maybe Messi's had enough. And I wouldn't blame him. I wrote a column 18 months ago saying Messi should probably think about leaving for his own good, for the good of Barcelona. It could change things at Football Club Barcelona in a radical way, because it's been proven that for the goals that they all have, it's not feasible for one man to take them to the Champions League final and win it every year. It just isn't feasible. So whatever's happening, the breakdown from here, I think, lads, is deeply complicated.
Instinctively, do you believe he will be at Barcelona when the La Liga season starts?
Yeah, when the La Liga season starts on 12th September, which is so close now, I do think he'll be there. But the market doesn't close until, what, October, I think, 5th? So if you ask me my odds on him still being there when the market closes, that would be a different actuarial calculation.
Closer to 50-50, is it?
Like, yeah, I might be edging towards the percentage swing has changed such that I think it's reasonable to say that if the right football project was presented to him, he would say, right now, in my opinion, I'll take that. But I still go back to you about how does he get out? I think that is the, you know, egos come into this. You don't want to be branded as the president who let Messi go. If he goes in the summer free, then that's something that is of his own free will. And listen, off the record, don't tell the audience. Please don't quote this back at me. Never tell Xavi. But if Xavi's taking over next summer and he gets a clean slate rather than having to redirect, reorientate a 34-year-old Messi and a Busquets at 33... And you know, Alba and Busquets, who both look athletically shot right now, in Alba's case, that might be addressable. In Busquets, it's not. They've got contracts until 2023 and 2024, respectively. That's another horrible imbalance. Fantastic footballers, but athletically, not in the best of nick. Xavi's problems, if he is the coach coming in next summer, and right now, if you ask me for percentages, that's the percentage bet. Would he possibly prefer to go, oh, well, you know, I don't have Messi, I'm so upset about that, but I'm going to rebuild from scratch.
Yes.
Would he opt for that? Would you opt for that? Yes. I think the answer is yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Two quick scenarios. Paris Saint-Germain come in with 100 million and Juventus come in with 100 million and Leo Messi thinks, oh, either of these actually, they, you know, that's one of these might appeal to me.
Paris Saint-Germain. You know, it's obvious that Neymar is special to him, not just in football terms, but for some strange reason, because they're deeply opposed creatures in terms of what they think your football career is for. There's a fatal attraction there, and the idea of not having to repatriate Neymar to Barcelona and going to join him there for a couple of years, if the money was right, the city would be a brusque change for his easygoing family, the lovely life they have right on the coast outside Barcelona. But Juventus, in all honesty, Cristiano Ronaldo, the biggest round, two of them in the same team. I don't believe it. I don't see it. I'd be shocked, absolutely shocked. If that's really what you were asking, is it going to be Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo? Honestly, I find that immensely tough to understand. Ronaldo's reaction to it would be picturesque. I don't think Messi needs it. Where if he goes, he's not going to go because he's in the huff. He's not going to go because he wants more money. You both know, all your listeners know what he would leave for. That is to dominate the Champions League. The idea that people poke at him and say, well, you haven't won a league apart from La Liga, doesn't matter a hoot. If he moves now, it's in order to be part of a project that he believes is properly prepared to repeat win the Champions League, not just once. And the fuss around him and Ronaldo in the same team, I can't imagine it.
The soap opera would be worth whatever money. I mean, I can see exactly why he can't. He can't catch up if he goes and joins him. But The Magnificent Seven was one of those movies that lives down the generations, simply by virtue of the fact that no one expected Lee Van Cleef to get together with that other guy, and it worked out. I mean, not quite Sideshow Bob, but it's there. I want to talk about
If I'm doing my Yul Brynner recruiting job, then the one thing I would make sure is that I stick by Steve McQueen. And for Messi, Neymar is Steve McQueen.
Fair enough. That makes a lot of sense. I didn't even make the Yul Brynner. That shows you it's a Monday morning, Graham. I'm a little slow. We have talked recently about the possibility of maybe Messi ending up at Manchester City. But from a footballing perspective, you explained very deftly why that wouldn't actually make that much sense for the style of play that Pep is trying to get to. Does another failure in Europe make Pep fundamentally question his value system? Like, what type of horror is Pep Guardiola going through since defeat the other night?
From, this is opinion. I haven't been on the phone to him. From my knowledge of him, if they were knocked out in the first round of the Champions League, his philosophy wouldn't change, his ideas wouldn't change. And I don't think they should. I think he got the team selection wrong. And I think it was evident. And if I were involved in the Manchester City project, or if I were a Manchester City fan, I would say, you've had a bad day. And during the working day, you haven't corrected it. In my humble opinion, I thought it was really obvious that given the way Lyon were playing, the mix of Fernandinho and Rodri and Gundogan in the middle of the field where the creativity needed to take place, and with De Bruyne constantly on the half turn or with his back to goal, didn't do things that damaged Lyon enough. And I also thought that it was long, long overdue that Mahrez and one of the Silvers, if not both, came on. When Mahrez came on, when Mahrez and David Silva were on the pitch, it was patently obvious that things were remarkably different. Not all the substitutes were used up. Foden has precisely the style that Leon would have hated. So the agonies that Pep's going through, I hope, are, what was I thinking of? But basic principles, the idea of the thing that some people will get confused about and say, well, your style of play, your philosophy of what to do with the ball is wrong or now might be corroded. One, I don't think it is. Two, I'm certain he won't think that. But within, you know, if you've got a plan, if you've got a philosophy that's your Bible, you could still have a bad day. And he really did. And I don't think that applies when people start totting up the failures. I don't think that applies in any way to Tottenham second leg last year. It does apply a little bit to Tottenham in London, where there's a penalty miss. But the rest of the game, you'd say that wasn't your best work. Second leg is just pure mayhem and fluke and an incorrect decision. And things keep totting up against him in terms of, well, why did the players do that? Why did Sterling not bury it? Which would still only have been, what, 2-2? Why did the keeper fumble something? All right. I think he'll say, that's what I've been talking about for years, that we're still developing. I think he will say we're still developing as a club, where the razor-sharp difference between winning a Champions League and going out the quarterfinal and the semi-final hasn't yet completely gripped this club from top to bottom. I think that's what he feels. I think he's... And if you look at the way Real Madrid won their three in a row, they gave a series of performances buried in each of the three triumphs leading up to the finals that were pretty much like that game against Lyon, but they found a way to get out of their problems when they weren't playing well. There's where City are lacking at the moment.
I've seen loads of people say Pep Guardiola is the only manager in the world who gets credited for being too smart when he loses a game. But that's actually not true. Historically, if you think back to after Manchester United won the treble and they signed Juan Seba Varane, and when Ferguson decides that Carlos Queiroz is the second coming of Jesus Christ, there was loads of times when Ferguson actually got in his own head about what European football needed to be. After Redondo annihilated them, he was like, oh, I need to rip this whole thing up. It's not the same, but they're of a piece. There's a bang of Ferguson I thought of all this, where it's like, I am so dominant. I am so far, like, I've just got to focus on this one thing. And eventually Ferguson works it out.
Well, I agree with you. And I think that if you talk to any of the footballers who played for him in the two Champions League finals he lost, they will say that his focus on this is what I want to do to Barcelona, not how I want to beat them or how we should play to beat them, we'll go toe-to-toe and we'll knock aside this blue ribbon name and we'll stomp on them because we are Manchester United. And I think he wanted his, like you're talking about a focus, I think he wanted to be named as one of the great European coaches. And to him, he thought he could win those finals. I mean, in comparison with your, you know, the way that Redondo hurt him in whatever it was, 2000, I think, and the Varane idea, etc. I think that you can. It's feasible if your argument that great men, having got to a certain level, focus on one thing and become obsessed by it and in a rosebud style fashion, and it can lead them astray. Then fine, that's a good argument. And do I think that, drawing from your conclusion, Pep could be more focused on simply winning? Yeah, maybe. But the one thing, I'm defensive of him, because I think he made mistakes building up to the Lyon defeat and during the Lyon defeat that exacerbated the fact that Lyon, although they were a little bit more ring rusty, they played much, much less football athletically, they weren't as tired as Manchester City. Manchester City were tired. And in that instance, what you need are the players with just that little spark who can unlock a pass, unlock a space, make the opposition make a challenge. And that was Portuguese Silva, Spanish Silva, and certainly in my book, Foden, all of those things. But without having to defend Pep Guardiola, I would point out at this time of maelstrom of criticism of him and speculation about whether he continues to be the right man to give Manchester City a Champions League, which I think is perfectly legitimate speculation. Investigation is a better word than speculation. Yeah. the point is that Pep Guardiola, when he was pretty dominant as Barcelona coach, always said, it's the players, 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 it's the players. And retrospectively, whenever he was talking about Barcelona, he said it was the players. So he has never claimed to be some overarching genius who should be lifting the Champions League every two seasons. And the very first thing he did after beating Real Madrid in a relatively tepid home performance, he went, don't start talking about the final. Rudy Garcia. We've seen what Rudy Garcia can do. We know what Leon... I discarded. I thought they would beat Leon. I absolutely... And I'm still sure that they should have done. But Guardiola, for those who are out with, you know, the pitchforks and the burning torches, Guardiola said, listen, we're gonna we've got a tough task getting past this Leon side. Have you seen the way they defend, the way that they're coached? Now, maybe for the money he's paid and maybe for the reputation he's got, maybe people will be just saying, look at Leon in the league. Look at the way that 3 weeks ago they were beaten by a Rangers side, blah, 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 blah. But if there's criticism, an examination of Pep Guardiola right now, let it be for the correct reasons, not just, aha, we've been waiting for this. Let's put the boot in. That's a load of, you know what.
Gotcha. Graham, good stuff. All the way from Sideshow Bob, Citizen Kane. Not bad. Thanks a million.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.